Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hey everybody, it's me, your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. We were supposed to have a new episode for you today, but I caught the COVID, and it's not so great. But what we do have for you is an episode that I had the lovely pleasure of DMing for a new show called Space Podity, a D&D Spelljammer actual play. It features, well, this episode is largely featured within the Dungeons & Dragons world, but it features past guest of Dungeons & Dragons, Lindsay Bowen, who played Nampa 9. So it's a bit of a spin-off, kicking off in our world. And guess what? There's a whole bunch of Hillup backstory. This kicks off a 4-episode arc that I got to DM for this crew as they launch their new show into the wild, wild world. It's not going to be all in dungeons. What happens is they crash land into a podcast. And the DM of that podcast gets to take them on an adventure through the world, building out lore, building out story, building out Hillup and Flamekin's adventure. Oh yeah, Flamekin's is there too. So listen to episode 1 right now in the feed, and then make sure you go and subscribe to Space Podity. Episode 2 is available now, and they release new episodes every couple weeks. So you'll get episode 3 and 4 like pretty much before September's done. That's pretty friggin' sweet. Space Podity, a D&D Spelljammer actual play, features our good friend Lindsay Bowen, Nampa 9, and some other amazing folks like Janelle Yee, Nahara Nichelle, Joel Marsh Garland, and me. That's me, Russ Moore. Okay, here's the episode. I promise, next week, I will feel better, and we will get you back into the adventure. We have so many in the can. I need to get them out. Okay, Space Podity.
Space Podity, starring
Lazra, Asimar, Warlock,
Gray, Minotaur, Valorborn,
Roxy, Wood Elf, Rogue, Druid,
Nampa 9, Autonome,
Rune Knight.
Hello and welcome to Space Podity. We are an actual play D&D podcast in the Spelljammer setting, where 4 adventurers visit the world of other D&D podcasts under the guidance of the show's DM or GM. This week, we are proud to be hosted by Russ Moore from Dungeons & Dragons and Facing Fate and other shows. But first, let's introduce the cast.
I'm Janelle Yee, she, her. I play Lazra, also she, her, and Asimar Warlock with a Pact of the Tome.
I'm Lindsay Bowen, he, him. I play Nanpa 9, an autonome fighter, he, they.
My name is Joel Garland. I play Gray, a minotaur who's come to think he's a bard. I am he, him.
I'm Nahara Nichelle, she, her. I play Roxy, she, her, a wood elf, the circle of the grasslands, druid, and also a rogue.
Hey, I'm Russ Moore. I'm your dungeon master today. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to see what happens.
Acting Captain's Log, Nanpa 9, Autonome. We have left the Tarrasque far behind, thanks to a favorable current in the Astral Sea. Our ship, however, is no ship at all, but instead a ship-like ornament on an enormous birdbath on the roof of a rather tasteful clockwork mansion full of androids and refugee swamp people. Long story. Having no effective means of steering, we careened off the Astral Sea, through a crystal pod, and crashed on a strangely familiar Toriel-class world. I swear I've been here before. As soon as I'm done with this log, I will propose that we form a ground team and buy or fabricate masts, spars, rope, and kettles of boiling whiskey in order to rig the entire mansion roof so that we might get underway again. The party of groundling adventurers I have to thank for being spacebound at all are heroic and kind, but untrusting. They won't even let me dictate this captain's log in private and are staring at me as I speak. They consist of a traumatized Minotaur veteran.
You want to see traumatized?
A spooky Asimar child who I am suspect...
I'm an adult now.
An adult Asimar child whom I suspect is under the thrall of a hidden power. And the most headstrong elf I have ever met. And that includes Rascal Gar, the cataclysmically reckless from the former Arajanon Zed.
He sounds fun.
Also, the mansion's kitchens, or I suppose their galleys now, are out of ale. We should leave.
We should leave.
How am I going to function?
A creaky wood door. It jars open rather quickly as the four adventurers pile out on top onto the patio of this crashed building that now finds itself at the shore's edge of a white sandy beach. There are palm trees all around. You see very exotic birds flying through the sky, whales and various other fish kind of hopping out of the water before you. And you step down the front two steps into some shallow water. And coming around the corner, you see what looks like a grass beach hut with one figure who is... at a distance, you can't quite make out too many features, tearing up the beach towards you. As they're doing that, I'd love for you to describe your characters to us. Who do we see and what state of disrepair, having come out of this lovely mansion that you've just come out of?
So who is likely to have gone out first knowing that there's no ale?
Oh, that'd be me.
Yeah.
I'm the gray. Fairly tall minotaur standing at about 6'5", wearing a little bit too much armor for a bard. Looks like he just piloted a ship for the first time. He's got a drum down at his waist that he plays both on purpose and sort of as he walks about. He used to be quite a warrior and had a bit of an accident and is now trying to find himself and deal with the music that's constantly in his head. And he looks like he needs some ale.
Nanpa splashes into the shallow water beside Gray. He is a squat, 3-foot-tall autonome built from bronze metal and shaped like a kid's 2-part snowman. He is floating in the water, much like a metal buoy would float in the water. The lower half of his lower sphere is made of some dense material that he usually rolls around on like a trackball. His volleyball-sized head has 2 green porthole eyes, a pince-nez just below, and a giant sculpted mustache that sticks out on either side of his face. His face is engraved with swirling grooves like a golden snitch, tracing out crow's feet and wrinkles. He's wearing a big black fez, and his spindly metal arms carry a comically large belaying pin and a big round shield. All of his gear is inlaid with metal and wires like a circuit board drawn by Jack Kirby. He looks over at the Minotaur and says, "You could have warned me about the water."
"There's water."
"Gee, thanks." Little paddle wheels come out of either side of Nanpa's waist, and he's able to start to navigate towards the sandy beach. He looks back over his head and says, "Roxy, there's water."
"Thanks, Nanpa." Roxy, very tall, very athletic, thin, almost spindly, looks kind of like a very thin little tree. She's got bronze skin, gray eyes, and green hair, and that's just all over the place. She's not one for keeping herself, you know, all pritzy and everything, And though she's a former princess, she's more the adventuring type. She's all that she needs in her bag. She travels light, but she's ready for adventure. On one shoulder, she has a bag with her weapons, and on the other, she has a bag with all her gear for magic and for doing whatever she needs. All right, guys, we're here. I see grass that makes me want to take a nap, but I also want more ale, so let's see where we are and let's keep it moving.
All right, Lazra's gonna splash out behind Roxy. She is an Asimar warlock, usually hiding behind Roxy or Gray. She's looks like a dainty young lady, pretty much human, with bright black eyes and straight black hair, dressed in very light armor. A lot of black and white beads and shells jingle around her wrists, layered on top of each other. And around her neck, she wears a necklace with a wooden pendant carved into the shape of a goat's head. And as she splashes water behind Roxy, she says, I love peaches. Oh, my God. Where are we?
Should we tell Russ about the hamster?
Do tell.
Yeah, we have a hamster, a normal hamster, not a giant space hamster, with tusks that has the very little brain of a very large orc in it named Tiny. You tell me, Joel, are we bringing Tiny or are we?
I mean, I think so. I don't know if I'd leave Tiny with the inhabitants of a.
That's true. The swamp people could eat Tiny.
Yeah.
So. All right. Russ, you are now Tiny. He is really too dumb to know what's going on. He's been a floor for a while, and then we transferred his mind from a floor into a hamster. So he's just sort of an aggressive, sweet hamster, and he lives in Gray's pocket, and he probably doesn't come out. But he might come out.
He's there, and we can, on some basic level, communicate with him more than you might a normal hamster.
Absolutely.
But not a space hamster.
Hey! It was a bit of a rough ride there. Hey, Gray?
Oh, yeah, he doesn't talk.
No, he talks. He talks now. Yes, and, sir. You don't say you're a hamster who used to be an orc and a floor and then not have him talk. You're welcome. Welcome to the party.
So as will happen every arc on this show, physics, magic, house rules all work a little differently on every planet. On this planet, Tiny talks.
Great. Well, ooh. You got to learn to steer a little bit better there, friend.
It's my first time. Okay. How about the talking? You got quite a mouth on you.
A little bump on the head, didn't it? Jangled some things loose, I guess.
That's good to hear. You want to stay in the pocket or you want to...
Oh, yeah, it's cozy down here. Yeah.
Great. Are you talking to your pants?
No. No.
I'm his pants hamster now. So when people say,
show her the hamster, leave it alone. I'm talking to the hamster. I'm talking to Tiny. You can't see Tiny here?
When people say, is that a hamster in your pocket or are you just happy to see me? He can legitimately say there's a hamster in his pocket.
I thought you said this hamster didn't talk.
It didn't talk.
Great.
Welcome to interstellar travel. You never know what you're going to get next.
You hear fast footsteps coming from the grass hut, and you see a masculine presenting human. He's got a tilted beret, which is a kind of a dirty, dark brown color. He's got a long mustache that twirls out on his face, like kind of like John Lennon circular glasses. In more commoners, like a tunic and just work pants. And he comes screaming up. He's got towels in his arm. He says, Excuse me, friends. That was a rough landing you had there. Here, take a towel, dry off. My name is Hillip. It's a pleasure to have you at my fantastical getaway island retreat.
Are these free?
Well, I mean, you know, you could dry off, and absolutely, we can have them be free, and you stay as long as you need, and it's an unusual form of
getting around town, as they say. I saw you falling from the sky. Where did you come from? Who are you? Why are you here? I mean, we haven't had people in a while, so this is good. I'm not going to question too much.
Nanpa dries his big round metal body off with the towel and then puts it into his backpack. Thank you very much, Hellup.
Oh, you're welcome. You can keep it too. Yes.
Yes, that's what free means.
Yep. Free use in your backpack now. Okay. Come on up. You tell me the story as we walk. I will get you. You need to, you look like you're a little tired around the eyes. You're a minotaur, sir. You need something to rejuvenate.
Ale.
Oh, yeah, we got the ale. Come on up.
I'm with this guy. He's my new best friend. Hillup?
Love it.
Tiny wants some ale. Tiny's the hamster.
Oh, yeah, I love a little bit of ale. Just like a little thimble of it is probably enough for me.
And a boiling kettle of whiskey, if you could supply that, good sir.
Boiling kettle, coming right up, sir. Okay, yeah, we're getting right here to. We'll just check you in the grass hut here. Just put your names down on the welcome board, and you tell me what seems to be what brought you to Hillup's fantastical getaway island retreat.
Are we on a resort?
Resort means relaxing and drinking. Oh, yeah.
Does? Yes. Yeah, it's a startup resort. We had a lot of things happen recently that not many people have come because, well, the Borwin family, I don't need to bore you with that, the Borwin family driving away business so that Hillup and his fantastical island retreat is no longer making money. Who needs to make money, right? I'll get you the ales. Hey!
So there's a competing resort. Is that the problem?
Sounds like drama.
Did they get Ja Rule in on it?
Oh, you know Ja Rule too.
Oh yeah, everyone knows Ja Rule.
Yeah, no, it's not Ja Rule. He's a peninsula over. But the Borwins, they had this long-time family thing. They put all these little artifacts on all the islands. So what had been coming by? Adventurers and people just digging up the island. So that drove away people.
Well, we are adventurers, but we're here to refit our mansion. We need masts, we need ropes, we need sails. We're happy to pay or barter for them.
You need masts and sails for your mansion?
Yes.
Because it flies or sails.
Well, you asking that question says to me that I shouldn't answer it. You're better off.
Okay, so you need masts and sails. Yes, yes. We here at Hillup's, we have masts, we have sails. But if you require these things, obviously, if I say they're free, that you put them into your knapsack, and then I will not see them anymore. But perhaps you come, you have your drinks, you rest up, and then maybe you go. If you could find all these items, then that would take them away, and then maybe all the adventurers would go away. And then we could outfit your houseboat.
Sounds simple. These artifacts are valuable enough that people are already digging in the ground for them. What's our finder's fee for the artifacts?
Well, you get your houseboat materials. You can have all the ale you wish. You can have an extra towel. You could have...
These towels are very fluffy.
Thank you. I use...
They're high-quality towels.
You rub it on a coconut, and it makes it a little extra floofy.
Is that a towel of floofing?
Well, I tell you what, Hillup. As far as the artifacts themselves go, I'll make you a deal.
Okay.
If the amount of ale and whiskey we drink is more than the cost of the artifacts combined... We'll take the artifacts.
Okay.
Wait. If we drink less than that amount, you can keep the artifacts.
Okay. If you drink more, okay, then you take the artifacts, which combined create a big weapon with the... Okay. But if you drink less, then you keep... Wait. Okay. Yeah. Great.
I like this planet.
I'm not sure why we've started off with an accounting session. Somebody give me a flagon of ale and point
to
something.
I can see why this business is failing.
Drinking game.
Everybody, who find every time we find an artifact, we have another
deal.
Love it. So come in. We'll find you your rooms. You stay just a little bit, and then you rest up, and then you can go on your way. He leads you out of the grass hut, and then through this cove of trees, which opens into this this resort, more resort area with huts all around this center lake in the middle of this island. Looks crystal clear blue. You see several workers. Tidying up, dusting things off, raking the sand. Doesn't appear to be anybody actually staying here aside from now the four of you, five of you, if you include include your hamster. And as you pass some of these workers, you see that they all look exactly like Hillip. And not just like he's wearing the same thing. They appear to be the same person.
Have I mentioned how much I like your mustache?
There are three within vicinity, and they all turn to you at the same time and say, Thank you.
I'm going to tug on Roxy's arm. Like, Roxy, I don't want to sound like a racist, but is it just me or do they all look the same?
We don't want to say that they all look the same. They might be very different beings. We don't know until we get to know them.
Hey, yeah, now you made me feel embarrassed. You know, I'm very sheltered. I've never traveled before.
We all think it, but you just said it.
Okay. That was my mistake. I understand.
Okay, we got you guys in the huts here. You just go in. You can get fancy. And then we can go over like some of the islands where maybe the artifacts could be. And, you know, just... oh, your ales. Right. Two other Hillips walk up and hand you big flagons of ale and one steaming pot of whiskey or steaming hot boiling whiskey.
And Nanpa hooks the whiskey spout up to his little port for his mouth and starts inhaling it and rolls into the tent.
Okay. I guess he's going to give up on the conversation about artifacts. I'm going to drink some ale.
You hear a voice yelling from the tent. Gray, don't sell past the close. We got a really good deal.
I'm just going to go check on one thing. I'll be right back and we can talk about the... I got a picture I can show you of the artifacts that you're looking for. I just don't have it in my pants right now. So I will go get it, put it in there, and then come back and show you. You just relax. Kick your feet up by the pool. It's going to be a great time for you at Hillip's Fantastical Getaway Island Adventure Retreat. I forgot what it was. Sorry.
Really got to work on your branding here. I can see why those other people are kicking your butt. Let's go to the pool.
Yeah, let's go to the pool.
Yeah.
Nanpa rolls back out of the tent. He's got some suntan oil that he is lubricating his joints with of his arms and his little neck joint.
God, even the autonomes need to worry about the sun.
We don't even know what kind of sun is on this planet.
Now, it's a lubricant, but my God, don't I love this.
Nanpa, don't lubricate yourself in front of us.
We had this discussion before, Nanpa.
I don't care if you brush your teeth in front of me. I'm going to lubricate my neck.
Tell me more about this toothbrushing.
From behind each of you, there's a new Hillip that walks up, each with a different color hat. You're welcome to assign whichever color to your personal Hillip that you would like. And each of them presents you another towel and a tray of drinks and put it down beside you and say, well, other Hillip will be back soon. Here you go. How is the pool so far?
I mean, a little creepy, Hillip.
Why?
There's a lot of you around. What's up with all the Hillips?
So. Ooh. Yeah, do I have two towels and I'm double fisting drinks?
Yeah.
Standing by the pool.
Yeah. That's what we're all about here.
How many Hillips are there?
One, two, three, four. It's many. We are all over the place. We are clones. So we primarily exist here on the resort, but sometimes some of us go out. And then we always appear wherever we need to appear when we are tasked to. Really comes into play. We share collective consciousness. It's very interesting for clones.
So this is a clone island.
Wait, are you like organic or are you like Nampa?
Pinches himself. I think I'm organic, yes?
Oh, Hillop Island.
Nanpa finishes his kettle of boiling whiskey and looks around. So you appear whenever you're needed, huh?
Whenever I'm needed.
And he drops the kettle of boiling whiskey to see if a Hillop appears and catches it.
A Hillop appears, like, just reaches down from beside you and hands it back to you. Sir, you dropped.
Oh, yes. Could you fill it up, please?
Oh, yes, of course. He runs off back to the kitchen.
Nanpa jumps onto a chaise longue and, you know, probably crushes it and says, I love being off world, finally.
Are you all called Hillops?
Yes.
If I want to call one of you, how do you know who I'm calling?
You call Hillop. You say, hey, Hillop!
Okay, but what if I want you? Just you.
Well, that's the joy of Hillop, is that whoever is Hillop closest, they come and they know exactly what you need.
But what if I have a special bond with Purple Hat Hillop as opposed to Orange Hat Hillop?
Mm-hmm. Watch. And then he removes his hat, which is orange, and pulls from his back pocket a purple hat and puts it on top of his head.
Now we know you like the purple hat, so we will always have it for you.
That's not the same, Hillop.
Yes, but after time, you won't know.
Gray's brain is hurting, and as per the usual, he decides he needs to play some bagpipe music to clear his head. So he's going to sit by the pool and play a sad bagpipe song.
I want to see the Hillops dance.
A sad bagpipe song.
On your spring break.
As you begin playing your sad bagpipe song, like the sound of it echoes out across the lake in front of you, and several Hillops come out from around the sides and begin playing sad violin music alongside you.
Oh, this is a nice resort. Yeah, this is worth it.
Nanpa is lying in the wreckage of the chaise longue and has darkened the tint of his eyes to an almost black, so it looks like he's wearing shades.
This isn't that weird. I mean, the termite aristocracy of Alubrion 7 works the same way. Just talk to whichever one you want. Ask him for a drink. It's all inclusive.
You hear the sound of a table grinding across the pavement behind you, and you look and you turn and you see Hillop, what you can presume to be the first Hillop you talk to, waving a big map or something in his hand and pulling this table. It's very loud and awkward, pulling it across the entire complex towards you, and tries to pull it down in front of you and between all of you.
Hey, no, I got it. It's okay. And rolls out the map and says, okay, so this is a map of the islands around us. At one point, all part of Hillop's retreat, but now covered, just covered in people trying to find these artifacts, put them together for some sort of power dynamic that exists within the realms here in the world. And excuse me. Whew.
Gray, your plane's getting much better.
Suck a bag of bolts. Suck a bag of bolts. Nanpa 9.
He turns up a little dial under his ear. He says, what's that, Gray?
Suck on bolts. A bag. Bag of bolts.
Go clutch yourself, Gray.
Such language, guys. We're here to drink and relax. Lazar and I are relaxing.
I don't know how to clutch myself, but it sounds lovely.
Okay, so how do we get from one island to the other normally?
Oh, well, we have a boat.
Okay.
Yeah, we have one boat around the other side of the island there, and our resident ship person can take you to the islands that you need to go.
Is his name Hillops?
No. The Hillops aren't supposed to leave the specific island. They do sometimes, as I mentioned previously. But for this purpose, we hire someone who is very important and knows how boats work. Hillops don't know exactly how boats work. We can get you all the cool things like you need. You need the mast and the sheet and the whatever else you said earlier. I wrote it down. Don't worry. It will be all fixed up by the time you get back. I promise you, it will work exactly as you requested.
Put lots of towels in there for us.
Padded when it crashes onto next place.
Ah. Hillip, would you wear this towel around your waist so we know which Hillip you are?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
You don't have to take anything off. You could just put it on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. No, yes, of course. I was getting into the spirit of the pool. I have my swim shorts on underneath, but I will just put the towel on. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. We're all having fun here.
No. Just you have fun.
Oh, you just don't have fun. No, you played sad music. Do you want to talk about something?
Oh, yeah. I want to talk.
Okay. And how does that make you feel?
All right, Hillip. I'd love to meet this boat person.
Does this boat person know all the Hillips?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been here for a little bit. They know Hillip. They know Hillip. And then they know Hillip. And then Hillip sometimes takes the food and the drinks that they want on the boat, because they don't leave the boat too many times because they are taking people around. But we'll meet them. So you look at the map on the table before you move on. There are 5 specific islands. A lot of them are little islands. But there's the Dragon Isle, which is the largest island. He points to a very small island at the mouth of like this inlet of this peninsula. He says, this is the island we are on right here. This is Hillip's entry point. You come here. Yes. You come here, and this is where you check in, and then you go out to the other islands for like day trips and spa retreats and hot stone things, and then you come back and you sleep, and then you go out and do it again the next day. That's how it works. So the largest one is the Dragon Isle. There are 4 others that are Ulger's Isle, Island of Ka-Ka-Ka. Paldir, Paldir, and Fang Rocks.
I mean, I do not want to start with Dragon Island.
They all sound equally safe, but caw, 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 how bad could that be?
Caw, caw, caw can't be that bad. There's some very interesting like bird-type people who live there. They are very welcoming.
Welcoming. Hollow bones. Sounds like a good place to start.
And pointy beaks. I don't know.
Do you ever make out with a cassowary?
I try not to make out with too many creatures that are sharper than I am.
Well, you must have a very sad love life.
Hey there, lonely girl.
A lot of people lonely are not girl. Into the possibility of disembowelment.
Hey, I know where all my holes are. I don't need any new ones unless I ask for them.
Some of us take them where we can get them.
Don't need a new entry point.
Speaking of which, Hillip, this is the most relaxed entry point I've ever seen.
Oh, yes. We'd like to make sure it's just relaxed and soothed and just ready to just take on everything that comes before it.
Well, let's go to call, call, call. Go to call, call, call.
But if we don't start rolling, we're never going to get this thing done and the cordage and yardage and sparage we need for the mansion. So Okay. Let's stop clicking around.
He pulls out a notebook and he's like, cordage and yardage and sparage. You didn't mention that at the beginning. We will find that too. Don't worry. Everybody's drinks are replenished and he leads you to the other side of this island where there is a dock and not a huge ship, but like a day sail ship. You walk down onto the docks and Hillip calls out, hey, Flamikens! Flamikens, are you on there? And coming up from beneath deck, there is a small goblin with flaming purple hair, a red dress, and she's got this brown leather jacket on. And she coughs. Yeah. Oh, what do we got? Well, these people would like to go around and try and find the artifact so we can get people on back into and just up in business and money, because people equals relaxation equals money. It's just an upward growth trend on our business plan.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, come on aboard. You're all wearing your customary name tags, of course. I see. Okay, so we've got Nampa 9, Gray, Roxy, Lazra. Nice to meet you. I'm Flamikins. I used to be a pirate. Now I take people from island to island and have less fun.
Flamikins, I think our hamster has something to say.
just climbing out of the pocket here. Hey, Greg, it's a little tight in here. Hey, could you just loosen the drawstrings? Just a cinch.
Sure thing.
Thanks. Pleasure to meet you, Flamikins.
Yeah. No, it's really great to meet you.
What's the special of the day?
Well, it's we got a trout. We'll serve that kind of midway. It's got a little pepper and potato situation happening, but it comes from the restaurant Potatoes. They're well known in the region.
Okay, well, that's great. You let me know when the potatoes are ready. I'm gonna climb back in here. Okay, yeah, cinch it back up.
All right, so which island do you recommend we start on, Flamikins?
Oh, did he show you what you were collecting, or did you ask what you were collecting?
We just know go to the island, find a thing.
We just know artifacts.
Oh, good Lord.
What's over on Cha-Cha-Cha? Any clues there?
I think it's Caw-Caw-Caw.
Yeah, we can go to
Caw. I want Cha-Cha-Cha.
In your former pirate days, Flamikins, which mm-hmm. island would you have gone to first?
Oh, well, are you looking for, like, big adventure or, like, easing into it?
Easy.
Easy. Okay.
Yeah, I got a nice little fuzz, so we'll start easy.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Island of Caw-Caw-Caw's pretty good. I mean, Dragon Isle's a real hoot and a half.
I like hoots.
I think I'm only up for half a hoot today.
Okay. Island of Caw-Caw-Caw, then, I guess, is probably a good place.
Island of Caw-Caw-Caw it is, guys.
I'm shocked we got Roxy to agree to anything but the most challenging thing. So let's take the win. Go to Caw-Caw-Caw.
Well, all right.
Well, you know, you got to do your warm-up stretches.
If I'm the only ones up for an adventure, it's no fun, man.
Hey, Hillip.
oh, hey!
We need pictures of 5 artifacts, please.
Oh, yeah, coming right on up, buddy. I'm going to text you an image here.
Oh. I'm excited to use my phone.
He brings up a page that has what looks like a sword with a mace on the end. He comes up onto the ship and hands this to you and says, each of these individual items here that are clearly numbered are the things that you are looking for. You've got a mace, which is pretty sure the one you're looking at if you're going to Caw-Caw-Caw. And then there's the hilt, the blade, the pommel, and the jewel. All of these put together, they create this powerful energy that people are very cool to get a hold of right now. And they want to make sure that they are the first ones to get it, because then it grants them ownership of different regions in the land, which you don't care about because you are busy sailing around on your mansion. But for us, it means they are tearing up our islands, obviously. Back to the problem at hand here.
Hillip, you're hoping to rule over everyone with this?
No.
Fantastic. No.
Hillips don't rule. Hillips help. Although, helping could rule could help everybody. No, don't.
Could rule with an iron towel.
That's right. I like it.
Like I like that.
Testicle-looking mace up there.
I think you'd make an amazing ruler. Hillip, oh. Why not resortize this entire dimension?
Oh. Okay, I like the cut of your jib there, tiny robot man. We will mull over what it would be if Hillip was ruling everywhere and always. And then when you get back, we will tell you about the rules that we have put in place while you were gone.
I knew it.
He hops off, hands you that. Of course, you have the map before you as well. Scurries down onto the dock and like slaps the side of the ship and says, all right, get going. Flamekins hoist the sail, and out you roll into the ocean before you. It's a better part of a day if you, there's no reason to take a long rest, but you could assume that you have taken a long rest, and you pull up to an island a little larger than the one you left. There are many high trees, all over the island, as well as a lot of different cave systems kind of around the edge. Flamekins docks you in.
Well, the potatoes were to everybody's liking, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Nice potatoes.
Yeah, good.
You got
right.
Lovely potatoes, Flaming.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for saying so.
I let the hamster eat mine.
Yeah, they were really good. All right, back into the pocket. It's getting a little tighter. It's eating so many potatoes, but that's okay.
All right, so I'll just kind of wait here just in case you got to make a quick dash. I'll be your wheel pirate out here on the ocean.
Flamekins, what is a caw, caw, caw?
Oh, well, caw, caw, caw is the sound a bird makes.
Sound a bird makes or a specific bird makes?
Oh, well, birds in general, just like a raven would probably say caw, caw, caw. But this is a home to, like, kenkus. Do you know what a kenku is?
I have no fucking idea what a kenku is.
Oh, cool. Cool.
A large bird.
They are a large bird. Kind of look like a little bit bigger than me, a little bit smaller than you, somewhere in the middle there. And while they can say caw, 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 they repeat things that other people say.
Okay.
Like a pesky pirate.
Pesky pirate.
Parrot.
Freudian. Hold on a second.
Pirate.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Parrot?
I mean, I can be a pesky pirate. That's fine, too. Yeah, I'll roll with it.
I'll be your pesky pirate. Mm.
All right, we gotta go. Gotta get out of here. These drinks were too good.
All right. Big birds and adventure and treasure. Woohoo! This is going to be great.
Roll onto the beach, and stepping out from the trees and from some of the brush, there are two crow or raven looking birds, but they're humanoid. So they're humanoid size. So like 4 to 4.5 feet tall, wearing green tunics over top of them that have hoods. And they come out, and in a deep voice, the first one says, "Hello."
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
And in a kind of an older voice, begins to say, "What are you here for?"
Which part of the thing are we here for?
We're here for a mace.
We're checking it out.
Are you here to wreck our island?
That's not what we... No.
We're very responsible.
I mean, we're capable, but we have no interest in wrecking your island.
I'm going to smack Gray's arm.
Both birds turn and kind of flag you to follow them. They lead you into the trees, unless you decide you don't want to, but they lead you into the trees, and everywhere you see huge holes dug. Beside some of the trees, there's a random broken shovel or spade. They're just kind of shaking their heads as they're walking through until you get to a clearing where there is a small huts and then a bunch of higher up treetop huts. And they turn and look at you, and in a child's voice say, "Adventurers have been hunting for something hidden here, and they wrecked everything."
What do you normally keep in the ground?
Second one, in a much deeper voice, "Worms, soil."
Oh, those are important.
Insects too, insects.
That is a lot of wreckage for worms, soil, and incense.
What are your thoughts on Hillops? I asked the Kenku.
Hillop is a really cool guy, is what one of them
okay.
says.
Okay. Well, That doesn't sound like a reliable source to me. Can someone else tell me what they think of Hillips?
One of the birds in the voice of Flamikins, who was left back at the boat.
Yeah, Hillips a pretty great guy. He employs many people, and people come here to have a great time.
This doesn't look like a great time.
Blink once if you like Hillips. Blink twice if you don't like Hillips.
Both of them blink once.
Okay.
Wait, was that twice? Because there's two of them.
No.
Look, we're here at Hillip's request. I'm sure you hear this a lot, but if we find the thing, then all these other people out there looking for the thing will go away.
That would be great.
And if you don't mind us busting a couple of heads along the way, who's to say?
I'm sure we can circumvent that if Gray just plays the bagpipes annoyingly enough. Everyone will leave of their own free will.
Do you like the bagpipes?
Me? I love
the bagpipes. No, I'm asking the birds.
They both blink once.
Okay, well, it's time to play a bagpipe song.
Oh no, we just met these birds.
I want to play something that the birds will really like.
Okay. Make a performance roll. First roll of the game.
A 9. That's, terrible.
Including your bonus? That's it?
That's it.
He's not rolled higher than a 10 for a performance this entire game.
Okay.
Any time that involves the bagpipes, I can't roll with a damn. If I was to play the drums, I'm sure I'd knock it out of the park.
That's amazing. Okay. Yeah, you start to play bagpipes and... More Kenku come out of like the higher up huts and everybody's kind of staring down and watching you. And as you get partway through the song that you're playing, all of it begins to echo back to you in the exact same song in like a round. So it's like this round cacophony of this bagpipe song being played from everywhere in this village.
Perfect. Keep doing this and all the adventurers will want to leave.
They give you some loose directions on how to get to this cave system on a far side of an island. You head off through the trees and make your way down to it. Roxy, you're probably your tracking ability or kind of nature awareness is probably the highest of the group, I would say. You notice that there are several sets of what appear to be humanoid footsteps, like heavy boots and tracking boots and combat attire, that are going to and from this specific location. There is one group of maybe three, possibly four, that look pretty recent heading down this way that you're following.
Ah, guys, this seems to be the way, because whoever these tracks belong to, they keep coming back. I think they may have found something or on the verge of it, so maybe we should make our way this way?
Can you tell how recently they were through here?
They are very fresh, so it seems like this happened today, probably just before we even got here, so wonder if I could make my way up ahead. I'm going to climb up these trees here and see if I could see who's up ahead.
Yeah, you could do nature or survival would be another good one.
Okay.
Depending on which one you're...
Yeah, let me go with survival.
Okay. 24, better than a 9.
Yeah, well, she should give her a pair of bagpipes and see what happens.
Yeah. You nimbly scale up this tree and you're able to find a clearing that opens up into like this wide mouth of a cave. That is has waves crashing into it from the ocean. You do see two people in full combat gear and with adventuring gear and backpacks and swords and all that, rounding a corner into this cave as you view it. So now they've disappeared into it, but it looks like they're heading that way.
Yeah, just as I suspected. There's a couple of people already headed toward the cave up ahead. So. You guys ready to crack some heads and say, ha ha, we found it first?
I mean...
I will admit I'm a little overzealous. I'm excited. I'm gonna hanker in for some adventure.
Let's just see what they're up to before we crack a head.
All right.
Roxy, I'm not known for my subtlety, so I certainly want to keep the head cracking in our back pockets.
All right, but still there. It's in our pockets, but it's still there.
Hey, don't put too much in your pockets, okay?
Thank you, Tony.
Happy to lead, Rox, unless you want to go scout ahead, and then I'll lead the rest of the group.
I will scout ahead just in case there are some other things to keep our eyes and ears sharp for, and then you can definitely lead us.
And just to let you know, Rox, Russ, that's our general marching order is I'm the fighter, and she's a scout.
And Janelle and I apparently just sit in the back and play the freaking bagpipes.
Yeah, yeah. Warlock in the back. Well, Janelle's squishy. We're not even sure that she's an adult yet.
I mean, I think she's sure.
I think she's sure.
I'm here. I'm drinking ale. You guys are in trouble if I'm not an adult.
Yeah, check the content warnings, everybody.
Every planet has different minimum drinking ages.
Oh, it's a maximum drinking age.
I'm 400, so higher than that.
Roxy, you scout ahead. You make it to a vantage point near the mouth of the cave, where it's very clear that, you know, that's where you saw the two people kind of disappear. But the tracks themselves allude to the fact that there are, in fact, four people in their party who might have gone in a touch earlier. So following in behind, you can get across to the mouth of the cave by either swimming or hopping over some precarious rocks or climbing along the side of this very thin embankment that wraps around this cave to get to the mouth of it.
I'm going to go around the cave.
Okay. I'm going to say you would probably make it pretty easily. So it's a little slippery for you, but you your awareness and ability in the outdoors, you nimbly make it across and are at the mouth of the cave where you hear the sound of conversation inside. It's kind of echoing and reverberating off the walls. The exact words are unclear, but the longer you listen, you think that you hear something to the effect of, "Yeah, we get this mace, then everything else will be a little bit easier after that. We'll get that power of this, and then people, you know, those birds can stop hassling us."
I don't want to leave the group. Well, at least now I know the mace is there. How far away am I from everybody else? Are they far enough that they can or can't see me? I want to send a signal.
They can probably see you, because I imagine you would have kind of left them at where, you know, the diversion point was, where you could have picked where to go. So they could see you from the mouth of the cave if you want to send them a signal, but they're pretty far back if you were to try and communicate something verbally to them.
You know what? I'm going to make a noise with a couple of these rocks just to get my team's attention.
Okay.
Yeah, use a little druidcraft to make some nature-y sounds to alert the team that, hey guys, over this way.
Awesome.
But I want to be so stealthy with it that I don't alert the people in the cave.
Love it. From where the three of you are standing, you see Roxy hiding off to the side so as not to be seen by whoever is in the cave. What sound is it that you make?
I'm going to make a sound that's similar to bagpipe.
I swear I just heard a squirrel fart. Did you guys hear a squirrel fart?
Can't stand these bagpipe critics. Bagpipe is a beautiful instrument, okay? It's beautiful. Speak to my soul.
It might have been tiny.
So,
at any rate, Nanpa's. Oh, sorry, don't want to step on Tiny.
No, you're good. Yeah, don't step on Tiny. Jeez.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I almost rolled right on you, Tiny. Here, and Nanpa is going to splash down into the water because there's no way he can go on that little ledge.
Right.
He's going to yell, "Mopar!" and splash into the water and bob and engage his little paddle wheels and go across the water.
Awesome. How do the other two of you wish to proceed across?
Am I going to be able to make that ledge, or am I too big for that ledge?
Yeah, it's pretty narrow. With all your armor and, you know, yeah, you're all covered in armor too, right? You could try to make it across the ledge with an athletics or an acrobatics roll. You get the sense that you might be able to make the rock platforms a little bit easier. Would again,
I'd like to try the platforms. I'll try the platforms.
Awesome. Roll athletics, athletics and or acrobatics, whichever's better for you.
Really, it's athletics is best. Okay. 18.
Awesome. So that, yeah, definitely enough. So describe how using your brute strength, and ability, you leap across these platforms.
Well, you know, the thing is, there's a big cave coming up, and I'm excited about the sounds in there, and this bagpipe has been failing me. So really what I'm going for is how to best thump my way from platform to platform to get a rhythm going, because I just feel the need for rhythm today. I just need some drums in my life. And so it's more about jumping to land on the four, on the four, on the four, than just getting across as a big beast. I just want to make sure I can keep the timing of it all together.
The timing is perfect as you're leaping across there.
Hit to the hoom, hit to the hoom, hit to the
hoom. It's almost matching up to the crashing waves so that any extra sound that you are making is covered, and so as not to be heard by anybody else that could be up ahead.
I don't believe I can do it as well as Gray, but I guess I have to also try hopping over.
yeah, roll athletics and or acrobatics. Both zero, I see for you. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's just your straight ability. Oh, no. Okay.
Poor Lazra.
Lazra, you see Gray leaping in time. Like, it looks too easy for you. And hesitantly, you begin to jump. And the first couple you make with relatively little problem. And then a large wave comes crashing up, making it super slick where you land. And you lose your footing and fall down towards the ocean below you. And as this wave falls back, you see that there are sharp rocks down beneath the water. And with a loud splash, that's where we'll end this episode.
Well, it was nice playing with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Next week, we'll have a new fourth player. I will see what her character is going to be.
And Gray will be playing the funeral bagpipes.
Funeral bagpipes, which is an insult. How am I so bad at the bagpipes?
I don't know. Janelle, I hope you'll still join our Patreon, which we'll talk about later.
Did you like it? I thought you would. Okay, now search for Space Podity and subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, I'm going to go have a nap now. Bye.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hey, friends. The Sprouting is a podcast that I want to tell you about and you should go listen to. It's an eldritch horror of an actual play podcast set in an apocalyptic future where eldritch plants have taken over, magical bargains twist the fate of reality, and each survivor struggles to trust their own senses as they try to see their goals through to their ends. The show uses the rules from Call of Cthulhu to heighten the drama of the story and leave the fate of the story at the whims of the dice. And they've created a completely homebrew world, a plant apocalypse, where the senses can't be trusted. And instead, the characters must learn to trust one another. The show is completely scored by beautiful music from their in-house editor, which heightens each dramatic moment throughout the show. I've got a little promo for you here, but go check out The Sprouting. I've listened to it. You need to listen to it. And you should start with the prequel episode when you go over there. Search for The Sprouting anywhere you listen to podcasts.
With your long-forgotten name, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
In the words of the unspeakable language, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
By the spilt blood of the wicked who walk upon this world sprouting the words of false idols, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
On the land of the dead harvest, that which brings the earth itself into your service, Yamel, we call upon you.
We call upon you. We call upon you. We call upon you.
The Sprouting, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast by Blighthouse Studio. Find us on your podcatcher of choice.